Hello, everybody. This is Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a nice, crisp, but sunny Sunday morning in Madison, and we're off for a ride in the Toyota Prius. A few words of introduction first. I'll be using my DPA or Danish Pro Audio binaural microphones or quasi-binaural microphones. One thing you'll notice right away is that I sound much less crisp when I'm wearing them because they're on my ears facing away from me. So they won't be as crisp as this microphone is because I'm talking directly into it. These microphones, because they're omnidirectional, actually pick up more car noise than I think I hear in the car. Unlike your ears, they, and we talk about this in the podcast in a sense, unlike your ears, microphones can't decide what to amplify and what to filter out, so you just hear general noise. It's like any other binaural microphone setup, but I do think I hear more noise in the playback than I do in the actual surrounding of the car when I'm there. The other thing I realize is that I should have pulled my seat forward a little bit because my friend Mary, who's driving, is actually forward from myself, and so she's basically facing away from me in a sense and is in front of me. And I might have picked her up better had I pulled my seat up more even with hers, but I didn't think about that. Well, I think that's all the introduction I need. The next thing you'll hear is me sitting on my front porch, waiting for my friends to arrive. I thought maybe Paul would come with her, but I guess Paul was a bit lazy this morning. So I'm sitting on my front porch, waiting for somebody to arrive. I'm sitting on my front porch, waiting for my friends to show up. And we're going to do a couple things. We're going to compare it with our Toyota Sienna in terms of noise, inside and outside. The Sienna is a van, but it's a very quiet van, as vans go, as cars go, actually. One thing to keep in mind as we make this podcast is that the roads in Wisconsin are pretty noisy because they have to use a substance that is going to withstand minus 35 degree temperatures all the way up to over 100. The stuff they use is a bit noisier. So the noise level of the tires may be greater here, both inside and outside, than it is in Atlanta, for example, which is where my friend Bob lives, who has a Toyota Sienna like we do. And every time I ride in his car, I say, I wonder why his is so much quieter than mine. Well, it's quieter because of the road surface. It doesn't have to withstand that great a temperature difference, so it's much smoother. Well, we're going to go in search of a quiet road so we can there's a bee looking for a place to summer over. Let's go right on by, bee. All right, the next time you hear me, I will be inside my friend's Toyota Prius. Okay, we're sitting in our garage. We're in our friend Mary's Toyota Prius. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
And we're going to start up the car back out of the driveway and go for a spin. So, let's go.
Okay.
We're starting to move.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no engine yet except for the electric motor.
And then the beeping sound it makes when it backs up.
Oh, okay. And there's the engine that just started. And we're now in the street, and we've stopped backing up.
Put it in drive.
And we're going forward.
Yeah. Now, this is a very considerate car. It does tell me if someone forgot their seatbelt.
Oh! Ah, yes. Get so used to recording that. That was very subtle, Mary.
Well, there's a little light on my dashboard flashing, saying, passenger.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm busted.
It's a tattletale car.
Yeah, yeah. So these are city streets. We're going, what, how fast?
19.
And what you basically hear at this point is road noise. I mean, I think the engine is still on, the gasoline engine, but I sure don't hear it revving up. And now this has a very different gear kind of situation, doesn't it?
Yes, it has a continuously variable transmission, which means that it's always
corner.
It's always at maximum output.
The engine just stopped. We're sitting here in at the corner waiting to start. Mm-hmm. And now we're starting. And because we're sort of going up a bit of an incline, the engine turned on right away, pretty much. But on the flat, it might have taken a while. You were saying?
I can actually look at a display here and tell you if the engine is on or not.
Oh, okay. And I guess that the display has all kinds of other stuff, like how many miles an hour you're getting, and whether the battery's charging, and all that sort of stuff.
Right, right. It's very useful. It's a little picture of the engine and the battery and the wheels and the electric motor. And right now, I'm just coasting, and so it's not using anything from either the battery or the electric engine.
Now we're going up a hill.
And now it shows that both the battery and the engine are pushing me up this hill.
Which is quite a steep hill, actually.
Yeah. But as soon as I get to the top and take my foot off the accelerator, it will just start coasting.
And if you coast long enough on a flat or downhill, does the engine actually go off?
The engine is actually off right now.
Ah.
You can tell from my picture.
Okay.
That the only thing that's happening is the wheels are turning, and because they're turning, they're charging my electric
battery.
Motor.
Okay.
Or my battery through the electric motor, right? Now I had to step on the accelerator just a little bit, but I'm about to go down on a steep hill. And if I remember to take my foot off the accelerator, nothing's running except the wheels. They're charging up the electric motor, or the electric battery through the electric motor.
That's okay. You can charge the motor if you want to, Mary.
Yeah, it's a little wind-up car.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You
take
it to the top of the hill, let it roll down. And now we're in a little bit of an incline, so we do actually see a little bit of the engine being used, but not much.
And as I said earlier, the roads are noisy around here, so we're going to go in search of that quiet piece of road, because pretty much all I hear, I mean, I hear a little bit of engine noise, but even the engine is quieter than I remember our Toyota Camry being, and certainly quieter than our Sienna, which really isn't all that much noisier than the than the Camry. It's a pretty quiet engine as car engines go, but this one seems even quieter.
And now we're about to go up the hill, so yeah, the engine is on now.
So the variable gears, or whatever they're called.
Right.
It's like a cone, I guess, and it just keeps
right.
getting the RPMs don't ramp up really like they do in a regular car when you're in first gear and then get slower and slower and slower. They actually go the reverse, and they start out very slow and speed up as you go.
I couldn't answer that question for you because I'm not a physicist. All I know is that you don't get that room that you when you go from one gear to another.
Yeah. We're still going uphill, right?
Right, and I'm about to get on the Beltline, and so you'll hear it really rev up as I go up the ramp.
The ramp.
Not quite there yet. But that is the one time when I really do hear it, because I'm having to go from a very low...
Right, very quickly, because the Beltline is...
Right.
Pretty fast traffic.
Yeah, it is the only time I've heard this car protest. It does really cut into my miles per gallon rating.
Oh yeah, you're down from 70 something to...
Oh no, it only gets to be 70 if I've just filled it and I'm on ideal conditions like University Avenue. It's really revving to get up to speed to merge with this high-speed traffic.
you can hear all the thumps and bumps and expansion cracks we're running over. That's another thing about the roads here, is that they have to have these, again, because of temperature differences. So mostly what you're going to hear is road noise until we find our quiet place, and then you're still probably going to hear road noise. We're going how fast?
Right now we're going 54 miles per gallon, or, I'm sorry, 54 miles per hour.
So what else, what all does your display tell you?
Well, I have a couple choices of displays. The one that's right now is on shows that my engine is working, and it's charging my battery and running the wheels. I can switch over to a display that tells me what my consumption is, and it gives me a graph of my consumption over time. Now, I had started out today at 50 miles per gallon, but I'm actually down to 49.9 because of getting on the Beltline just now. If I drive mostly on the Beltline, it stays around 49. If I drive in the summer on mostly flat hills or flat roads, then I can get it up to like 55 or so.
So this actually would probably get better gas mileage in town than it will on the road, because the electric engine is doing a lot more of the work in town at slower speeds.
Well, you get on University Avenue and just start coasting across town, and it takes very, very little gas.
And it's not downhill all the way, it's just basically flat. Well, it might be some downhill.
It doesn't have to be downhill, it just sort of has to even out.
Yeah.
So that you're not basically losing by trying to go uphill and staying uphill.
So the question would be, if you're on University Avenue, which is, what is the speed limit on University? Probably
35.
35.
But the main thing there is that the lights are timed very well. And so you can go for quite a long time before you actually have to stop and start the engine again. And of course, stopping and starting is what usually uses up gas in any car. And what's nice about this car for driving in situations like that is that while we're stopping at the red light, like right now, it will turn off. And so while we're sitting there during the red light, it doesn't use any gas at all. And it doesn't pollute, which is nice.
Yes. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, what you hear is just cars in the distance. It's very quiet and starting. And as you say, there's no vroom when you start, unless you're really having to step on it.
You know, to try to get your optimal miles per gallon with this, it's good to take the same route by bike, because you'll notice whether or not the route you've chosen is difficult or not. You know, if you're on your bike and you're having to go uphill, you'll notice it. If you just look for the flattest route to get someplace, and if you remember to take your foot off the accelerator when it's coasting, you can get very good mileage with this.
So I guess the question would be, if you're on University Avenue at a speed of 35 miles an hour and it's flat, versus being on the interstate at 65 or 70 miles an hour and it's flat, where do you get the best gas mileage? Still while it's slower?
Both will be very good, because if it's flat and you've got momentum going at 65 miles an hour, you get it really high too. And what's nice about this is there's an instantaneous gauge on the same display that shows your consumption over time. And if you get that car out there on the highway and get it up to a speed and then take your foot off the accelerator and just let it coast along, because it's flat and it's kind of designed to have less resistance, because of the shape of the car. Your instantaneous miles per gallon will be like way up in the 90s or something.
Wow.
Like that. I mean, it averages out, so that's
right.
Not what you get for your rating, but you know, you can get it like pegged up at the top of this chart. If you're driving carefully, you know, it's a lot of it is psychological. You're in a big hurry to get somewhere, and you just floor it when you don't need to.
But with this kind of display, if you wanted to be economical, you certainly could, because it gives you all the information you need to do that.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of good feedback.
And as you say, if you can remember to take your foot off the pedal.
Right. Or, you know, if you can just resist the urge to stomp on the accelerator as you're going up the ramp to get on the Beltline.
Or even how fast you start out on your very quiet street. I mean, you don't need to go vroom and start it, you know.
Right.
So you learn to drive in a way that even makes the efficiency of this car better.
Yeah. Well, I'm still looking for those good roads. There's a whole division over here that is new.
Well, she said she thought there was a piece of the Beltline in Middleton that was new.
There's a piece of the Beltline, yeah. Now, did you want a high-speed road, or did you want, like, a residential road?
Well, this is actually pretty quiet.
Yeah.
We're going uphill.
This is relatively new road here. There's quite a lot of development out along here.
It would be nice to get a higher speed without all of the clunk, 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 and the...
Okay.
And I know that even in our car... And I don't always remember to ask where we are when we hear that quiet road, but it's, yeah, this is nice and smooth.
Yeah.
And you do hear the engine, and you hear a little bit of sort of, we call it the singing road. You don't notice it all that much, but there are lots of roads in Wisconsin where it's as if you had snow tires on. You actually hear the pitch increase as you go faster because of whatever the road's made of, and I hate those things. I would imagine it would be kind of annoying to live by one.
Well, this is a development here, a residential development, and these roads are all brand new out here. The only thing is they might have a little bit of gravel on them.
Yeah, and it's partly brand new, and it's partly, you really have to wonder what they use to make them, because we're driving through residential areas.
Actually, this area right here has got some, since it's new road and old road together, it's a little clunky. But right here, this stretch looks very, it looks new and it looks nice and smooth. So I'll try to get it up to speed, and then I'll take my foot off the accelerator. So yeah, we're passing pedestrians.
And how fast are we going?
We're going 26 miles per gallon. Miles per hour. I gotta get out of that habit of saying that. 26 miles per gallon versus 26 miles per hour.
Well.
Yeah, this is a nice area out here. They just built it. It's a senior retirement center for Attic Angels.
Of course, it also depends on what kind of tire it is. And Toyota is not famous in our four Toyotas for using really quiet tires, and that would make a difference. Although I've been reading lately about tires that people are now developing that are more gas mileage, that get better gas mileage.
Yeah, well, it definitely makes a difference if you get the tires properly inflated
in
this car. And that's kind of a challenge because here in Wisconsin we have such extremes in weather, and that change the air pressure of the tires. And so it's a good idea to check your air pressure monthly. Because you know, what worked last month probably doesn't work as well this month.
And see, all you hear when we start up is the increase in road noise, and the engine is on, but it is so quiet. You know, you could...
Well, the engine's not on right now.
Okay.
Because I'm going downhill just a little bit. But I'm going through an intersection up here. The stop. So the... Yeah, there.
Engine is on.
And yeah, now it just turned off.
Yeah. Yeah, that does say pollution.
Especially a concern, you know, if you're in rush hour traffic and you're just sitting there for hours.
And we're going. The engine just came on. But again, none of that, you know, let's get in first gear, high revolution, high RPM sound.
Right. So we'll get back on the Beltline at this next intersection up here. Thank you. that's a beautiful stretch of the highway out there. It had been 12 going into Middleton.
Okay.
Now it bypasses that. So that's about as new a road as you can find on this Beltline.
The other nice thing about this car, I remember when we had our first Toyota Tercel and we didn't have air conditioning and we had to drive with the windows open. And even noisy cars, when you have the windows closed and you're traveling at high speeds, trying to carry on a conversation is really hard. And of course, you know, I'm sitting here talking in a very quiet voice and easily heard, and I can hear you. And
this car is that there's an incentive not to turn the air conditioner on because, of course, things that
they draw
electricity. So I try to avoid using. And the challenge is to figure out that nice sweet spot between the speed you're going and keeping the air conditioner off. Because if you have the windows down and you're like driving on the Beltline, that decreases your mileage,
right?
Because
you don't have an a streamlined car.
Right.
You've got wind
coming
in
and pushing inside
right.
the car. Right. Yeah. It's, well, you know, it's kind of shaped like a bell, and I imagine that has something to do with it.
So running the air conditioner doesn't decrease gas mileage, but obviously it uses up the battery.
Right.
That's interesting.
And it's intelligent. It knows how often it should switch over to just the battery and use that. You know, it knows how much is in the battery and won't switch over there if it's getting low. So here we are on the new stretch of
okay.
the highway,
this
and
is...
I'm going 57, 58.
Yeah, this still isn't as quiet as some I've found, but it'll do.
Yeah.
It's still that sort of singing road. But that's what we have to deal with in this part of the country. How fast are we going?
62.
And again, you know, we're just carrying on a normal conversation.
Going over a bridge here.
One of the things I notice about our car, which has nothing to do with anything relating to gas mileage, is having gotten used to a car as opposed to a van, it takes a long time for the van to get warm in the morning. So it's really cold out. A lot more room to heat up.
Yeah, well, this is a small car, right?
Yes.
So it heats up pretty nicely.
So this is the size of, I wonder what other Toyota, it's certainly smaller than the Camry. I would think, because your seat's much closer to mine than I...
The other car that I kind of noticed to be kind of about the same size as the Focus seems.
Okay.
Focus seems a little smaller. And the thing is, the other thing too is that in the winter you don't get as good mileage because the battery can't hold a charge as long when it's cold. And so the engine knows, well, we have to have a won't switch over to the battery as often, and so you do get a dramatic drop in your miles per gallon in the winter. For this car, it goes down to about 39, 40, whereas in the summer, if I do a good job of driving, I can keep it somewhere between 50 and 54.
So you can actually zero out the average and start over.
Oh yeah, every time you starts again, or you can hit reset.
Right.
It's kind of fun when you do that if you're at the top of a hill and you fill the tank and you roll
and
down
your average
the hill.
Is now 70 miles an hour.
Seriously. Yeah. We filled it at the top of Whitney Way, rolled down Whitney Way, and then used University and University in East Johnson to go across town, and we got all the way to the other side of town, and it was like 68 or 70. Then, of course, we had to come back home and go up the hill.
Of course. we can meander our way back toward our house, I guess.
Yeah, well, we've come pretty far out into the country here, so we should get back.
This is kind of eerie because you actually hear a lot more of the what the traffic outside this car is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going up a bit of a hill.
Yeah.
Because there is not the engine noise in this car to mask out what's happening outside.
Right. You'll hear a lot of noise now because this is a high-speed road. I need to get up to 55.
Yes, but it did not start out in gear one with that high RPM. It started
right.
out very slowly and gradually speeded up.
Yeah, that's because it was starting with the electric motor. That's what it started.
And also
with.
Because of the graduated gears of the engine.
Right.
Now, how fast are we going?
We are going 55 miles per hour.
So, is this car noticeably different in shape because of it wanting to be streamlined?
Yeah, it looks more like a bell. So, it's noticeably different. I used to have trouble finding my car in the parking lot. Now, I don't.
Now, you don't.
It's got a much shorter nose than most cars, from the headlights to the windshield wiper is short, and the dash itself is quite long because it's sloped, and so it goes, you almost have like a table in front of you. It's so deep, it's about a foot and a half deep. Then there's a nice display in front of me, a digital display that shows me my speed and the gear and odometer and gas or fuel, all on a digital display. There aren't any gauges. And the back is a hatchback, which for me, that took some getting used to. With a hatchback, you don't have quite such good visibility in the back corners because of the sloping roof. And so I have to be really careful to look for bicyclists or anybody walking alongside the car.
Now, the beeping that we heard when you backed up, that's not external as well as internal, is it? So people standing outside.
I don't know. Did you hear it?
No, you're right. I did not. So it's not
it's not
a warning. It's just a warning that you're... And I wonder why they do that. I mean, obviously, you know you're backing up. It's the people outside who... you know, if it's like those trucks that have a beep when they back up.
Well, I think if the windows were down, you would hear.
Probably.
Because it sounds very loud to me
inside
the car. And yet you didn't hear it when I was backing up outside.
No,
you were outside.
I didn't.
Oh,
but we'll do that one more time as you leave and...
I'll put the windows down and see if that helps.
I actually don't, because I'm assuming that in most parts people will have their windows up,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're trying to save gas mileage. And
yeah. Well, except that in the city, in the summer, most of us with Priuses will have our windows down because we're trying to avoid using the air conditioner.
Yeah, that's true. And it might be actually more beneficial to ride with the windows down at a slower speed.
Yeah.
Because you aren't causing as much drag on the car.
Right.
And then it would cost more to actually use the air conditioner at that speed.
Right. And you see it, you notice it on the display, you can see the difference. In the summer, I don't take the belt line to get to work. I take the roads. In the winter, it's actually more efficient to take the belt line.
Because of the difference in the battery charge.
Yeah.
Now we're going up a bit of a hill.
So it's dropped down to Now it's down at 25, so you see it just averages out between the two.
And there's the singing road.
Yeah.
I hate these roads.
It's interesting. It's something that people who don't have either sensitive or problems with their ears are just tuned out to.
Subject of another podcast, because hearing aids and among people who are blind, especially losing your hearing and having to deal with hearing aids is even worse, because now you're sort of blocking off your natural ability to locate sounds based on hearing the same out of both ears.
Right.
But if you are in fact hearing more car noise, and microphones are only so good, even the most expensive ones. They're just not as good as your ears, and I don't imagine that every hearing aid uses the most expensive microphone in the world.
Well, your ears, your brain knows how to factor out background noise.
Yes.
You can get these expensive hearing aids that are supposed to do that, but...
They aren't your brain.
Yeah,
and they don't work as well.
The trouble is, it's kind of like, do you like vanilla or do you like chocolate? It's there's too much choice in how you get them set up, and that was very difficult for Sandia to get her hearing aids set up properly so that she didn't hear the background noise, and it was difficult for her to remember to switch between the two settings. There's one setting that blocks out background and one that doesn't. There's some situations where you would want to hear the background noise, like a situation where perhaps a teacher at the back of the room might be calling your name or something. And then other situations where, it's important to block out the background noise so you can hear what's really important.
But you're right, the brain has a really neat feature. It does all the sort of, here's what I want to hear and here's what I want to concentrate on not hearing, and no electronic device can be that good.
Yeah, I mean, they're not kidding when they talk about selective hearing. Your brain knows enough to pay attention to what it needs to know, and it can just filter out all that other noise. And the hearing aids that she tried to use, I mean, they were supposed to work together, and you always had to keep trying to get them set up right, and it didn't work very well. So I would imagine the more you can cut out the background noise, the better that Sandia probably hears.
Coming to a stop. That ain't us, friends. That's a bug. A very large mosquito. Man, it's so quiet in here. This is amazing.
Hear just a little bit of a buzzing noise over on the left. The trouble with this car is it makes such different noises that I have no idea what's a good noise and what's a bad noise.
Yeah, I noticed when you stopped earlier, it sort of makes a noise once you turn it off.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the key. You actually don't actually put the key in the ignition, do you? Or even in the door?
No, you don't. You don't do any of that. So all you have to do is just have it in your pocket, which is wonderful because, you know, if you get your arms full of groceries or something like that, you can just open the door. And, of course, other people can't open the door.
And when you get in, you don't put it in either. What do you just push a button?
No, you just push a button. It's more like driving a computer. It has, it has a on and off button. That's really all there is to it. And then it has this little pretend, I don't think this is real. It looks like a shifter, but I would bet it's really just, I would bet it's really just some switches in there.
I wonder, though, if in starting out in really snowy weather where you would use low gear even on an automatic transmission, if there is such a thing that actually is going to start the engine first and give it more torque. I don't know.
There is a separate gear that I can put it in, which is called the braking gear.
Okay, so
and
that's the same thing.
It's not just like that. It's also that in this lower gear, it recovers more of the engine braking, and so you actually get better gas mileage because you recover more energy. But you wouldn't want to drive that way. I mean, you'd have to drive pretty slow to operate that way. So it does have a gear, but it's different. It's not called low, it's called B.
Huh. Be interesting to know more about what that does.
Yeah.
I guess one of the questions is, well, you're always charging the battery at some point in your driving cycle, so you're never going to be without a battery. I wonder if it's a different kind of battery than most other cars use.
Oh, I think so.
And what if you leave your lights on?
Well, it's a very considerate car. It turns them off for you.
Oh, that's good.
It knows enough to do that. The only thing that's funny about this car, I've got to tell you this story. You know, it takes some getting used to that you don't have to take your keys out. I mean, I'll find myself sitting in this car fumbling with my keys if I have just used some other car and I had to turn on the ignition. Like, I borrowed my brother's car over the weekend, and then I came back and sat in this one, and I'm fumbling around with my keys, and then I realized I didn't even have to take them out of my pocket. But the other problem is that, okay, both my husband and myself have keys to this car, so if I'm taking Paul to the airport, which I often do, and he has the keys in his pocket, and I think I have my keys in my pocket, the car will turn on, because, of course, there are keys in the car. And so I could take him to the airport, and he could hop out and run, go catch his flight, and then I could go to take off and realize the car started on his keys, not on mine, and that I actually
got mine. Because yours are at home in the dresser.
Mine are at home on the dresser. And I thought this, I almost made a scene at the airport. It was hilarious. I took Paul out to the airport, and he hops out and goes in. And I did something funny with the dash. I don't know what I did. I don't know what button I hit. But it came up with a little icon on the dash that says there's no key. And I just freaked out because I thought, oh my goodness, Paul had the key. And I thought I had it. And so I hopped out and started running into the airport. And the security guard stopped me and said, "Lady, you can't leave your car there." And I said, "I can't move it. I don't have the key." And she said, "Move your car now. Move your car now." I was afraid she was going to arrest me. And I couldn't convince her that I didn't think I had a key to the car. And so I said, "Look, I'll show you. I can't move this car." I hopped back in the car, and it turned on, and I drove off. I was so embarrassed. I was afraid I'd end up on the evening news, crazy lady at the airport. You know, it was a security threat or something.
So we're back in our driveway, or are we in our garage?
We're in our garage.
Okay.
And I'll turn her off.
Well, thank you very much. This has been most educational. Oh, no, there's that
funny whirring noise it makes when it's done. And, you know,
it's thinking.
Yeah.
Am I really done?
Well, it's going to wait until I actually get out before it turns off the lights and concludes. Well, yeah, okay. So it finished its little power down routine.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Now, did you want to do that thing
with
the windows down?
No, let's keep them up.
Okay.
And then you can just, instead of coming back, you can just be on your merry way.
Okay. Now, are you sure you don't want me to do it with the windows down so you know whether or not you hear the beep?
No, because I want to know if there's a beep outside, and I don't think there is, because that's what people are concerned about. If this thing starts up really quietly, well, you don't get the beep going forward, obviously.
Only
so
going backwards,
if you're standing near the... In fact, I almost walked out in front of one of these the other night. I'm at the grocery store with Ginny, and I'm recording stuff in our car, and she's in the grocery store. I walk out to go record just the traffic sounds, and I walk to the end of our car, and I almost walk out in front of this, and I'm not sure it was a hybrid or not, but I could hardly hear it because it was just starting off. Mm-hmm. And the wheel noise wasn't noisy enough for me to notice it at that point, and there was no engine noise. So even if it beeps on the outside backing up, which I don't think it does, most of the time you run into one of these, bad choice of words, most of the time you...
Encounter.
Now there's another noise. You're going to encounter them going forward on the street corner or whatever. So it could be an interesting problem.
Yeah, give a hug to Ginny for
me. I will do that. Say hi to Paul. Mm-hmm. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, bye.
It's a lovely day.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, I suppose you have a thermometer, too.
On,
in the car.
Yeah, you yeah. did.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye.
Now, let me interrupt for a minute and say that this is where we compare the Prius with the Sienna, because what you're first going to hear is my wife backing our Toyota Sienna out of the garage, starting it up, backing it out of the garage, and driving away. And then you're going to hear Mary doing the same thing with her Toyota Prius. First, starting up in the garage, backing out, and driving away. So first, the Toyota Sienna, and then without any verbal intro between, next you'll hear the Prius. She goes. Now you can hear the wheels rolling on the gravel more than you can the motor. Oh, and there's the engine, but good Lord, you could walk right out in front of one of those things. I'm going to go stand out here like I did before. And there's the lawnmower out here, but well, you know, you can't have total quiet. This is probably as quiet as you're going to get, and it's still going to make enough noise. A little bit windier. Now we're standing here, Mary's parked there, and now she's going to leave. Wow, that is amazing. That is totally amazing. And after Mary drove away, she came back to ask me if she could have a copy of the podcast. So now we get to hear her leaving, going the other way. She's across the street from me at this point, as we're having the end of our conversation, and then she leaves going off to the left.
So when are you going to broadcast?
Probably I'm going to put it up tonight. It'll be available for everybody to hear. My friend Mary. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good one. Now you see how quiet it is here. Think how this would be if you were in a really noisy city. There's no way you'd hear that. Wow. And now it's a little while later, and I'm out on my deck, and I thought I'd do a little postscript to this podcast. The whole thing about binaural microphones picking up more sound than you actually hear in the setting is, I think, an interesting thing to think about. As we said in the car, and as I said in the beginning, ears and brains get good at deciphering certain sounds and picking out certain sounds from other sounds. Whereas binaural microphones are good at giving you surround sound, they often give you more, I think, than you would normally hear, because there's nothing filtering out the sounds that you want to hear and that you don't want to hear. It doesn't have the complexity that the brain does, so you just end up hearing more noise. I actually think my Audio-Technica AT-822 microphone in the car, and I've recorded with this a number of times before, would have given me a better sound. It wouldn't have been binaural, it would have been great stereo, but it, because the capsules are cardioid and not omnidirectional, doesn't give me as much ambience, and it ends up being about as much ambience as I hear in the real situation. All of this is to say, I think what you really heard, especially when I was inside the car, is more than what you would hear if you were riding in one. It would be quieter. It would be interesting to try it with a different microphone, and in fact, I think my former boss at Trace has a Prius, so I should call him up one day and go for a short spin and try the Audio-Technica microphones and see if it gives me a more realistic sound. Well, I'm sorry for all the technical stuff on the end. Some people, including myself, are interested in that. And I do think it is an interesting phenomena, the recording of sound and how to best get it to make it sound as realistic as it did when you were there. All right, so much for this podcast. This is Neil Ewers in Madison saying, I hope you enjoyed the ride.